overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And we have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line Dr. Garth Nicholson, who was for many years a professor at MD Anderson Clinic in Texas, and more recently has been here in California. But he and his wife have written a great new book, which we will be carrying, called Project Daylily. What is Project Daylily? Well, I'm going to let Dr. Nicholson tell you the background to this incredible story. Thank you so very much for being with us, Garth.
Well, it's a pleasure being on your show again.
All right, fine. For our listeners now, this is an entirely different audience, so you just go ahead and repeat what we talked about before.
Okay. Well, actually, I'm here on your show to talk about our new book, Project Daylily. And as you know, Stan, this, because I sent you at least an early electronic version of this, this is a self-published book. And it's about the use of prisoners and military personnel and helpless people in our population as experimental guinea pigs for biological warfare experiments, and how that some of these agents got loose in the population and they're now spreading a variety of unusual illnesses. And the book kind of gives a background of what happened to my wife and I. We were on the faculty of esteemed institutions in Houston, Texas. And when we stumbled across this, we were absolutely hounded to death. In fact, they tried to murder us to keep all this information quiet and keep the public from finding out about it.
Well, of course, the book reads like a murder mystery. The only trouble is it's a real-life murder mystery. And although the names have been changed to protect from lawsuits, why, at least some of the people there I know because I've interviewed them. And people ask, where did chronic fatigue syndrome come from? Where did fibromyalgia come from? Where did so many other diseases that are plaguing our people today come from? Gulf War illness, AIDS, and the other things. And, well, a lot of these things are addressed in this book, which is written by a man who was on the front lines of the battle. And, of course, they've done everything they could to conceal the truth. So pick up the story there.
Well, we were essentially faculty members, as I mentioned, in Houston, and our stepdaughter served in the Gulf War, and she was in the 101st Airborne Division as a crew chief on a Black Hawk helicopter, and when she came back and started exhibiting a variety of unusual signs and symptoms that at the time they were attributing to psychological problems like post-traumatic stress disorder, and we knew that wasn't right, and we knew she had a real illness, and a lot of her other colleagues did as well. And so that's what actually got us started into this, to unraveling the mystery behind Gulf War illness and the fact that it was, at least in half the veterans, there was a contagion involved that spread to their immediate family members and even to their children. And there were a number of other situations as well. And in the prison system, it turns out, in Texas and elsewhere as well, they were testing these new agents on prisoners, and we stumbled across that because the prison guards were coming to us for help when they found out that we were helping Gulf War veterans with essentially the same signs and symptoms. So then started a long saga of trying to keep this information secret from the American public and trying to essentially ruin us and eliminate us to prevent the information from ever becoming public.
And of course, this was in Huntsville, Texas, at the state prison there, and there was just an epidemic of anterior atherosclerosis, Lou Gehrig's disease, and multiple sclerosis, and so many of the families of the guards had contracted the disease from their husbands who had contracted it from the prisoners. A mass experiment, but we couldn't let the American people know that. Well, that's the sort of thing that the Nazis would have done, isn't it? Or could that really go on in America? We'll be back here in just a moment with Dr. Garth Nicholson, his book, Project Daylily. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our special guest this afternoon is Dr. Garth Nicholson, who we've had the privilege of knowing for some time. He was formerly a professor at the MD Anderson Clinic and at a university in Texas, and he stumbled across the fact that they were experimenting, certainly on our soldiers, or at least many of our soldiers with Gulf War illness had a mycoplasma infection. And then, of course, these same infections had been released in state prisons in Texas. Well, they couldn't let the American people know that we had people in our government who were doing exactly what the Nazis did in their concentration camp, is that is experimenting on the population there. And so certainly Dr. Nicholson came under tremendous pressure, and actually there were a number of people that you were associated with who were trying to investigate this story who died under very mysterious circumstances, weren't there?
Well, absolutely. My boss, who was the vice president for patient care, was actually murdered in his office, and that's a part of the book, actually, explaining what happened. Essentially, an assassin walked in his office one morning and walked up behind him and shot him 6 times in the back of the head and walked out of the office. He was never found.
Now, they never found the assassin. Wasn't this a man here? I think he was a retired, colonel in the military?
Yes, he was a retired Air Force colonel.
And he was actually going to come forward and bring out the truth about these macabre experiments going on in America?
Yeah, there's an interesting description in the book of the morning that this happened. In fact, I had inadvertently ran into him in the parking lot, and we both walked in the building together, and he was discussing with me what he was going to do. And unfortunately, it never came about because he was murdered 15 minutes later.
And, of course, you actually and your wife were under tremendous pressure, and your lives were threatened and endangered many times. And isn't that the reason, of course, that you left Texas and came to California?
Yes, we had to leave. It was just too much pressure. And it was obvious that they were after us in a number of different ways. And we experienced all sorts of problems, economic problems, fraud. They were filing frivolous lawsuits against us. All kinds of things were happening to us.
And, of course, Dr. Nicholson is one of the world's leading scientists. He has over 600 peer-reviewed articles. And we checked him out years ago before we started putting him onto our programs to make sure that, you know, that this story was really true. And I'll never forget going down to the local medical library at the hospital and asking to start pulling down his articles so I could read them. And I came back about 15 minutes later, and the floor was all covered with paper. And the woman said, "I'm up to 250. Do you want me to keep going?" And I said, "No." I think that this is a legitimate story because it's so incredible. It's almost impossible to believe this could happen. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Dr. Nicholson was just talking about the terrible pressure that was put on himself and on his wife there at the MD Anderson Clinic, because, of course, they had tried to help the Gulf War veterans. They tried to help the innocent people there, the guards and the people in Huntsville and in this town where they'd unleashed this terrible infection. And what about that epidemic of Lou Gehrig's disease and multiple sclerosis?
Well, this was a very special case in a small little town in East Texas where three prisons were located close by. And there were over 40 cases of Lou Gehrig's disease in this little town. And that normally has an incidence about 1 in 100,000. And so to have 40 cases in a little town of 30,000 was just unheard of. And there were four on the same block. And we were sort of looking, I was looking into this, and there was one thing that linked all these cases together. They all worked at the prison system. And so that was the link, and we knew there was something very, very wrong. And there were even more cases of multiple sclerosis than there were of ALS. So there were all sorts of the chronic problems in the community, chronic fatigue syndrome, autoimmune diseases, and other problems, heart problems, bowel problems, you name it. The whole community seemed to be sick.
And of course, the mycoplasm will do this. Isn't this a genetically altered mycoplasm? In other words, someone in a laboratory someplace has changed the structure of this organism?
Well, we found some unusual gene sequences in the mycoplasmas that we looked at from prison guards and from the military, but the population as a whole may not have this altered form. We found in our further investigations that these infections were quite common in people with a variety of chronic illnesses. So we think we've come up with a solution for a lot of chronic illness in America. And so people should get the book. It's called Project Daylily.
All right. We certainly recommend it. It's fascinating reading. I will tell you, I had a very hard time putting it down. And I usually don't read fiction books, but this is not fiction. This is real. And there's so much scientific background that, of course, as you go through this, you'll learn so much about all of this macabre experimenting. Why don't you really begin back there when they brought the Nazi scientists to America?
Well, this story goes back to World War II, and we think that this is the type of weapon that was brought back from the death camps in Eastern Europe and worked on by our own scientists and also the Nazi scientists that they brought back in under Operation Paperclip. And the story goes on. This was worked on by the Army. In fact, they hold the patent. An Army pathologist holds the patent for this particular microbe. So they knew about it. They knew about it well before the Gulf War, and I think when they were doing their experiments in the prison system, they knew quite detail what kind of damage this microbe would do.
Well, of course, it creates just, at least in many people, just this chronic disabling illness, which just makes them incapable of functioning.
Well, people wonder, where did these illnesses come from? We didn't see very much of these types of fatiguing illnesses like chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia syndrome, Gulf War illness 20 years ago. And all of a sudden, they're exploding in incidence in the population. Also, autoimmune diseases. These were fairly rare 20 years ago or so, and now all of a sudden, there's a tremendous increase in incidence in a variety of autoimmune diseases, and people wonder what's happened. What's happened to our population? That all of a sudden, we're coming down with all these unusual illnesses.
Well, of course, you can go back and read Brzezinski's book, Between Two Ages, back in 72, and in one of the footnotes, he talks about how in the future, why they'll be able to create hurricanes and storms and create biological diseases that will disable the enemy. In other words, the people will become disabled because of these chronic diseases, and the question is, who is the enemy? Is the American people, under any circumstances? There are treatments for this, aren't there? You know, if you can make the diagnosis?
Yes, there are. In fact, people can go on our website for the Institute for Molecular Medicine. It's www.immed.org, and they can find out about treatments and find out about how to be tested for these infections and so on. I do want to mention that people should get our book, Project Daylily, and there's a new website that we just set up for that book. It's www.projectdaylily, and it's that Lily has one L. People always say, I can't get on. We'll try one L. It's lily.com. And they can also, if they want to purchase the book, there's a toll-free number they can call. It's 888-795-4274. And by calling that book, they'll connect with the Ex Libris publishing company in Philadelphia. And this is a self-published book. They're simply printing it. So if they want to copy the book, they can go on our website or they can call the 888 number.
All right, fine. Well, I think it's an excellent book, and it's a fast-moving story, and yet, of course, it is really the story of Dr. Nicholson's personal story and his wife's story, dealing with some very, very powerful people at the highest echelons, not only of the academic world, but certainly tying right into our intelligence agencies.
You know, one of the things I get asked, people ask me all the time, well, why did you use a fictional format? Well, for one thing, we used composite characters in our book for obvious reasons. And the other thing is that we had some inside sources. We had some people inside that were feeding us information, and we had to protect our sources. And so that's the main reason, to protect our sources. And this is why we used a fictional format. Also, we could add our own personal drama to this, to the book.
And, of course, one of the hardest things, I think, is for people, the average person out there, the good person in our society in America, to believe that there really would be people who would create terrible, new, deadly diseases that will kill people. And yet, we have all these new diseases. What about the AIDS epidemic? Where did this come from?
Well, you know, all of these questions all have a fairly common origin as far as we're concerned, and if people get the book, they'll find out all about it. But these are Cold War agendas. These are agendas which have no place in our society today, and this is a legacy, really, of the Cold War. But it's time, really, I think, to come clean, and it's time to help the American people who are suffered under this Cold War agenda.
And, of course, this really is fascinating. In fact, I learned a lot simply reading this, even with a medical background. So much information there that will really help you out there as a reader to understand what's going on. And the book, again, of course, is Project Daylily. What sort of response have you been getting? I noticed that one of the people who recommends this is a Nobel laureate.
Yes, he's Dr. Roger Gehrman of the Salk Institute, and he won the Nobel Prize a few years ago for his really outstanding work in neurochemistry. And he was very taken by the book, and we have a number of other professionals, as you see, from universities all over the United States who've written supportive comments that we've used. And also we've had some retired military people. One of the comments that I like the best is from a Special Forces colonel who retired, and he was involved in biological defense during the Gulf War. And his final comment is that this is the truth that needs to be told to the American people.
And, of course, the tragedy is so many of our young men came back from the Gulf War, and they were ill, because they had mycoplasma. Now, what was it, about 40% of the Gulf War veterans had this genetically altered organism?
About 40 to 45% of the veterans that we looked at from Gulf War illness, 50% in other studies published by other laboratories, had this infection. So there's a bit of a variability depending upon the groups of individuals that were looked at. But we feel now, after consulting with epidemiologists who have studied this problem, that a lot of the problem goes back to the multiple military vaccines that were given during deployment.
Well, now, how much of it was a mycoplasma? How much of it is the immune response that they got from giving these kids, 14 to 15 vaccines in one day? Doesn't that just wipe out the immune system?
Yes, it does. Actually, most of the people who were deployed in 1991 received as many as 30 different vaccines, and they were given all within a three-day period, the primary and then the boosters 1 and 2 days later. And this is absolutely ludicrous. This does nothing but immunosuppress an individual, and it certainly doesn't protect them.
And so, of course, they were simply experimenting with our boys, and or perhaps something worse, but in any circumstance, so many of them are ill today. Do you have any idea how many of the Gulf War veterans who went over there? I think there were 695,000. How many will the government admit are ill? How many really are ill? Or do we have any real idea? Because they are covering this up.
Well, we know from the actual statistics of individuals that have registered with the VA, and that's over 150,000. The number of dead is an item which is very difficult to trace down because it's a classified number. The last number that we heard was 28,000, and that was a few years ago, so we have no idea now. But this war was much more costly than the American public was led to believe.
Well, that's an awful lot of people, because these are young, healthy people, and they don't die at a young age.
Well, it's history repeating itself, because now we've found that there are individuals coming back from the current conflict that are coming back sick as well with undiagnosed illnesses, and it's history repeating itself. Now the military is trying to do the same thing that they did in 92 and 93. They're trying to diagnose these sick veterans as post-traumatic stress disorder, psychological diseases, which we don't think they have.
No, I don't think that they do either. But about 30% of the, at least according to the government statistics, 30% of the young men coming back from the current war, after 2 to 3 months, have an undiagnosed illness, and they want to call it, of course, psychological. But I don't think most of them are psychological. That's what they told us Gulf War syndrome was, and yet that was a lie, certainly, wasn't it?
Well, in fact, the psychiatrists themselves proved that most of the veterans did not really have post-traumatic stress disorder. For one thing, they had too many medical problems that were not associated with psychological problems at all, and hard to put under that the banner of psychological. They also didn't really have an exact diagnosis of post-traumatic stress disorder either, as it turns out when psychologists and psychiatrists looked at this issue very carefully. So not even the psychiatrists and psychologists believe that it was post-traumatic stress disorder.
Well, of course, there's been a real effort, I think give the average doctor disinformation on this. I know we've had speakers come down from the government hospitals to tell us it's all psychological. Gulf War illness is all psychological, and I think an awful lot of doctors believe it because, of course, the professional organizations say that. But as far as you're concerned, that really isn't true?
Well, there may be a small percentage suffering from psychological problems, but it's hard to rationalize all the medical ailments under the psychology rubric.
And, of course, the wives getting infected with the same sort of illness, that's pretty hard to explain from a psychological point of view. We'll be right back here with Dr. Garth Nicholson here at Radio Liberty.
really help you to understand the nature of the spiritual battle in which we're currently involved is Gary Kaur's book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism. Now, you may remember Gary Kaur's book, Ode to Global Occupation. His second book, The Demonic Roots of Globalism, goes into the very real spiritual forces, the dark and sinister spiritual forces, which have energized those people who are molding the world in which we live today. Going into the background of Masonry Theosophy, and he actually quotes extensively from the writings of these people who have helped to mold the events of the 20th century. The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaur will give you tremendous insight into the background of what's happening in America today, and unless you understand the spiritual forces at work, you really can't understand the unfolding of events. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for The Demonic Roots of Globalism by Gary Kaur.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In the 1970s, there was a group of Italian immigrants in the small town of Roseto, Pennsylvania, who drew worldwide attention for their unusual cardiovascular health, despite their pasta diets. I recently uncovered the fact that their unusual health was attributed to the precious red wine which they imported from Italy. Today we know this as the French paradox, the fact that the French exhibit greater cardiovascular health, despite their fatty diet, because of the red wine they drink. Wouldn't it be great to enjoy the health benefits of red wine without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives? Well, now you can with Longevinex, the world's first stabilized red wine molecules, preserved in an airtight capsule just like in a sealed bottle of red wine, equivalent to 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex for healthy aging without the calories and alcohol. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done, get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap, it's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. Garth Nicholson, who actually left and was more or less forced to leave his professorial appointment there as a tenured professor at the MB Anderson Clinic, and with a university appointment, and he's come to California, and he set up a laboratory here where he's been able to continue his studies. He is, of course, acclaimed throughout the world. He's one of the world's leading scientists in this entire field of, would you call it molecular biology?
Well, molecular biology is one name for it. We call it molecular medicine.
All right, fine. And certainly, if you do have problems as far as the chronic fatigue or these chronic infections, why don't you tell our listeners how they can get to your website and perhaps get some, at least, information on what can be done to deal with these terrible disabling problems?
We'll be glad to. Our website actually is the number one website in molecular medicine, so they can get on the site at www.immed.org. Just think of immediate.org.
All right, fine. And, of course, if you go there, you're going to find an awful lot of great information. Our telephone number is, of course, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And the book, of course, Project Daylily, and that's one L and the L-Y. Why do you call this Project Daylily? Where did that name come from?
Well, that's actually a U.S. Army code word for one of the weaponization programs. And so we chose that as the title for the book. We thought that would be appropriate.
And, of course, you actually have people within government who've been able to leak information to you. People are concerned about this, but they don't dare come forward for risk of their profession and their lives?
That's correct. In fact, we got a lot of inside information from people within government who were appalled at what was going on and were speaking freely about it, only under the conditions, though, that we would protect their identities.
Now, wasn't it that several of the young men who'd worked for you had been your students in medical school and went on to become pathologists and had other jobs? Didn't they meet some very unusual deaths? When they began looking into what happened at Huntsville, Texas, what was that story about?
Well, there were five people around us, either students of mine or colleagues, that died under very unusual circumstances. These were the ones that stayed behind, unfortunately. Because we left in 1996, and it was about time to find a new location. So we moved back to California because I'm a native Californian myself. And so we set up a laboratory here in Huntington Beach, California, to pursue work on these chronic illnesses and chronic diseases.
Well, I know. Didn't the government of Kuwait invite you to come over there to consult with them about the tremendous number of people who are disabled there?
Oh, yes. After the Gulf War, I was a visiting professor at the University of Kuwait, and one of the reasons we were there was to inspect the clinics and so on and try and give them some help with all the chronic illnesses, which they felt from their own inspection that these had increased approximately 30 to 35% after the Gulf War. So there was almost an epidemic of chronic illnesses in Kuwait after the Gulf War.
Well, now, do you think that was related to the to the contagious spread of the mycoplasm, this chronic mycoplasm incognisus fermentis, or is this related to some other cause?
Well, it's related to a number of different causes. And in fact, after going to the clinics and actually talking through an interpreter with some of the patients and physicians and so on, we have to conclude that there were a number of reasons, environmental and other reasons, that there was a tremendous increase in chronic illness. But we did see quite an increase in infectious disease as well.
And, of course, one of the things that the Veterans Administration was finally forced into a position where they had to go ahead and run a study to find out if your treatment you recommended, which was long-term antibiotic treatment, would benefit the veterans. What happened with that study?
Well, I think the study was sabotaged from the get-go. From the very beginning, they started to get very unusual results, ones that were totally unanticipated. For example, veterans who were on placebo were showing that they were, all of a sudden, they were infected before, and then their infections were suppressed. Suppressed by placebo, nobody's ever seen that. So we know that they must have switched some of the patients from one group to another. And when they started seeing a significant difference in the treated populations within the first 6 months of the study, then all of a sudden it completely shifted back and went the opposite direction. And nobody's ever seen results like that. They were highly suspect.
And, of course, science is supposed to be a search for the truth. But when there becomes a political agenda, can't science actually be dangerous and deceptive?
Well, we knew that was a possibility because we had tried to enter in on a controlled study with them previously, and they had sent us samples and sent to other laboratories blood samples of the veterans. But when we examined these samples, we found out after careful analysis that they had been frozen and thawed at least 4 or 5 times before they were sent to us, and this was done to completely destroy the sample's integrity.
Hold that thought right there.
the Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. Garth Nicholson, and we're talking about his new book, Project Daylily, and I will tell you, it's one of the most exciting and important books I've read in a long time. Our telephone number, of course, here, if you'd like to talk to Dr. Nicholson, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and we're talking about this story of really what happened when Dr. Nicholson uncovered the fact that they were using biological warfare agents at the Huntsville prison, and of course that these same agents somehow just by accident seemed to have gotten into vaccines that left many of the enlisted men between 40 and 45 of the soldiers who came back from the Gulf War and they were ill, had this infection. Even more than that, many of their families developed the infection as well, their wives and children, didn't they?
That's correct. We found that there were at least 40 to 45% of the veterans who came back and had undiagnosed illnesses had this infection, even though most of them were, I think, purposely diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, which was a totally inaccurate diagnosis for their medical problems. And then the infection started to spread to the wives and to the children. And the interesting part about this problem was that when the infection spread to the children, often they were diagnosed with autistic spectrum disorder or autism, that these children had unusual signs and symptoms of social impairment and other problems learning problems and so on that we associate with autism. And now we flash back to the increasing incidence of autism in our population. Again, another chronic illness that's exploding in incidence, and something linked to the multiple vaccines that children receive before they go to school. So here's the parallel between the Gulf War veterans who received multiple vaccines during deployment, coming back sick, and many of them have unusual illnesses and infections and so on, and in children who the same situation. And when we examined autistic children, we also found that they had a very high incidence of similar types of infections. Not exactly the same, but similar types of infections that we found in the Gulf War veterans and their families.
That's a fascinating thing. I'd never heard that before. So will these children at all respond to treatment? Have you tried to treat any of them?
Yes, they do respond very nicely. And in fact, the patients that get a combination type of therapy which treats their infections as well as their other problems do extremely well. And so we're trying to convince people of this. I've been speaking at several autism conferences. In fact, I have to go to Tokyo to speak at an international autism conference in December to spread this information around.
Well, now, Chris, hasn't there been an explosion of autism all throughout the world?
Yes, there has been. And we think it's also associated with the multiple vaccines that children receive, because now we're in some states as many as 30 vaccines are required before children reach school age. And this is awfully suppressive on their immune systems. And if there are any minor contaminants in any of those vaccines, or if they're exposed to some of these infections, and normally they might be able to fight them off, but they can't if they've been immune suppressed with all these vaccines. And so we think that's a part of the problem.
Well, that's an aspect of it I'd never even heard discussed before, but certainly we know that one in six American children has either a neurodevelopmental or behavioral abnormality, and those are the CDC's own statistics. Now, what about the Centers for Disease Control? They're supposed to be out there, you know, tracking all of these things down and protecting our health.
Well, as you know, as you and I have discussed a number of times, some people joke that this is really the Center for Disease Cover-Ups, that that's what CDC stands for. They're really a governmental organization, and they're probably not in the best position to really help people. They're under the thumb of bureaucrats, and this is not the way to really help people. We feel quite strongly that one has to go to independent organizations to get the proper help.
And I really agree that, having been to the CDC myself many years ago, back I guess 1988 or 1989, and talking to the people there, and I really think you have to understand that we cannot depend upon the CDC to help us. There may be some good people there, but if they want to keep their job, they're going to keep quiet.
That's exactly right, and that's one of the reasons why we wrote the book Project Daylily, to bring this to light to a number of people so they can find help in the correct places. And for those of your listeners who are interested in getting this book, there's a website. It's www.projectdaylily.com, or they can there's an 800 type number where they can call toll free to order the book. It's 888-795-4274, and they just say the word Project Daylily, and they'll get the book ordered for them.
All right, fine. Well, I think it's an important book that everybody out there should read, and actually we're going to carry the book as well because we think it's that important. Let's get a little bit into the background now. My understanding is that you and your wife have been given the honor of being honorary SEALs for the Navy SEALs because you were able to help so many of them who came down with this illness. What was that all about?
Well, you're correct. I mean, my wife and I, we are the only two honorary Navy SEALs in the history of the Navy. And the reason for this was that we helped some of the SEAL teams that were deployed during the Gulf War overcome the illness. And people don't realize that they were decimated with these chronic illnesses when they returned. And it's very hard to explain that our most elite armed forces are suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. I mean, we knew this wasn't true. These units had been to war before. They serve in all sorts of covert operations around the world all the time. And they were getting sick, and their spouses were getting sick, and their children were getting sick. And so it was the same story as before. They had these chronic infections, and we helped them overcome that. And we're still working with the SEALs. We have some new products that they're testing for us in Afghanistan and so on, and it's working out very well.
And, of course, would you like to tell our listeners that this is this lipid product, isn't it?
Yes, it's what I call lipid replacement therapy to repair the damaged membranes in the cells, and particularly the mitochondria, the little battery inside our cells that provides the energy for our systems. When these membranes get damaged, they become leaky, and then it's just like stripping the insulation off your battery. The battery runs down, no more energy. So we've devised a way that they can replace these lipids through a dietary regimen, and this is what we're using with the SEALs in Afghanistan right now.
All right, and I think that, so anyway, there are lots of things there, and of course you go to Dr. Nicholson's website, you'll learn a lot more about this. Somebody called in and asked if you knew anything about the Daubert, D-A-U-B-E-R decision. I've never heard of it, have you?
No, I don't.
All right, fine. Well, we'll have to tell the listener he doesn't know anything about it. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or 464-8295 if you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question for Dr. Nicholson, because there's nobody I know who knows more about all these things that have gone on behind the scenes. But let's talk a little bit about perhaps some of the new diseases that have occurred. We have a disease called Lyme disease. Nobody had ever heard of it. I never heard of Lyme disease when I went to medical school, and it wasn't until, I think, probably after I came back from Africa in the late 1970s, early 1980s, we suddenly began hearing about Lyme disease, which seemed to have originated in a place called Lyme, Connecticut, right across the inlet from a place called Plum Island, where there was a biological warfare laboratory.
Well, this is a story which is very interesting. I was just a speaker at an international Lyme disease conference, which took place in Philadelphia just this last week. And my actual lecture was on the co-infections with the Lyme Borrelia, which is the spirochete, the Lyme disease causing organism. But Lyme disease is not just one infection. It turns out it's multiple infections. Every patient that has Lyme disease has these multiple infections. And the most common co-infection is a mycoplasmal infection of the very same type that we found in the prisoners in the Gulf War veterans, Mycoplasma fermentans. So this is a very suspicious disease which originated in old Lyme, Connecticut, and then has exploded in incidence all over the East and is now in the West, carried by ticks and birds and so on. And people who are outside and get bitten by a tick, and most don't even realize it, can get the disease, and it's a very debilitating disease, causing a variety of chronic signs and symptoms. Very similar to chronic fatigue syndrome, but often worse, because neurologic signs and symptoms are very common.
All right, fine. And now, what about the relationship between these chronic infections and Lou Gehrig's disease and MS? Lou Gehrig's is a terrible disease. It strikes young people and a chronic progressive disease that leaves them many times just totally paralyzed. And yet, this is really increasing, isn't it?
Well, there's an amazing increase in Lou Gehrig's disease, or ALS, as we know it. And this disease really results from the dying of brain cells in the midbrain. And this results from the fact that there's something going on in these cells that's causing them to die. And one of the things that we found in our studies with the Gulf War veterans, where there's also an unusually high incidence of ALS, was that 100% of them were infected with this unusual mycoplasma. When we started studying civilians with ALS, we found that 85% of them had this infection. So there was an extremely high incidence of this infection. And the other aspect of ALS was that there was another unusual virus that we found associated with the infection called an enterovirus. So it's not just one infection, and that's why some of these diseases end up to be quite different, as a combination of different infections may result in a completely different type of disease.
Well, my understanding is that the Veterans Administration has finally had to admit that there is a relationship between so-called Gulf War illness or the serving in the Gulf War and ALS, and they've made these cases now service-connected, but a significantly higher incidence of ALS, certainly in the Gulf War veterans than the general population of that age group. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes, it is, and also they haven't made the connect yet with multiple sclerosis, which is also extremely high in incidence in the Gulf War veterans and is also associated with these types of infections.
But you said 100% of the ALS patients from the Gulf that you've checked on, 100% of them have this altered type of mycoplasm?
That's correct. And we also found it in the British and Australian veterans who had ALS as well. So it's not just something that's associated with American veterans.
Well, is there anything that can be done for them? I know you tried at one time to treat these, and they seem to do very well as far as the treatment, but then, of course, there was no funds to continue that?
That's correct. We had to stop our studies on the ALS treatment, but we had what I thought was a very effective combination treatment for ALS. And of course, one of the problems with ALS is that, unfortunately, when it progresses to the point where people are considering alternative therapies, that's the point in time where there's so much cell death that it's very hard to reverse. But we were able, even in advanced patients, to slow down the progression. And in early phase patients, we actually got the recoveries. And it's interesting that some of the patients from the Huntsville area in Texas who had ALS completely recovered from the ALS with the treatment with antibiotics and other regimens.
But, of course, that's unheard of.
Absolutely unheard of.
And that's why, ladies and gentlemen, this story is so vitally important. And this is why I doubt very much whether we're going to see Dr. Garth Nicholson on 60 Minutes or 2020.
Or you did.
So you haven't been invited yet?
No. We've, you know, in some of these programs, we've received invitations, and then they've been quietly withdrawn.
Just at the last minute, why somebody puts the pressure on, because the last thing they want is for the American people to know the truth. Would that be a fair statement?
That's probably a fair statement.
Right. Well, of course, you know, I've heard this before, you know, and there are people within the media who'd really like to get this story out. But then, of course, comes the call from the president of the company, and if you want to keep your job, why you disinvite the people who have a true story to tell? Well, you know, what about academics? It's certainly, you have certainly great academic credentials. As you tell this story to other scientists, what sort of response do they give you? I know that certainly the Nobel laureate who endorses your book, and it's right there on the back of the book, but what about some of the other people? Do they understand what's going on? Are they just don't want to rock the boat because, of course, they could be next on the list?
Well, they come in all kinds of persuasions, just like any other occupation. And I think at first that there was widespread denial that these things could actually happen within our university structure in the United States. But those that were really true insiders and knew some of the things that were going on realized right away that, yes, not only could they happen, but they were happening. And I think as time has gone on, more and more academicians have realized that these are things that are real and happened. But there's still some denial out there, just like in any other segment of the population.
Well, I think it's important that people get the book, that they read the book, that they consider the things that are talked about in the book, because if there are indeed new diseases that are being created that are infectious, is anybody's family really totally safe? And you've actually had the disease that both you and your wife had. Didn't you contract that from your stepdaughter?
Well, my wife almost died of the disease, and actually her illness is what led us into looking at the mycoplasma, because in 1987 she almost died of a very severe mycoplasmal infection, and she was actually working in one of the departments, academic departments, that was involved in testing the prison system. So these are things that we didn't realize at the time, and we didn't know where it came from at the time, but in retrospect there's really a very logical answer for all of this.
And, of course, the thing is that there's a great deal that can be done if you know what to do. And, of course, a lot of this involves not only taking antibiotics, but building up the immune system.
Absolutely. You know, people don't realize that in our environment today, our immune systems are generally compromised to various degrees. And so keeping your immune system strong is absolutely imperative to resisting these types of new diseases. And so we recommend on our website a number of different procedures and products and so on and so forth, and we don't make any money off of those products. We've just found in our work over the years that some of these are important, and they need to be considered as part of a healthy lifestyle.
Well, let's get that website out so people will know how to get you, or give your telephone number out if you'd like.
The Institute for Molecular Medicine, the website is www.immed.org. There is a telephone number that they can access from the website, although we don't recommend. We get so many calls on that we can't help to return them. So the information is really on the website.
All right, fine. Well, I want to thank you so very, very much for being with us, and we look forward to having you again on our evening program when we can go over the background of Project Daylily. Thank you so much, Dr. Nicholson.
Thank you for having me again on your show.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, our guest has been Dr. Garth Nicholson, and I will tell you that this is a gripping book. We actually have ordered a dozen of them or so, and they'll should be in any day now. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. It's about a 600-page book that gives the whole incredible story of Dr. Nicholson, and certainly I'll never forget one time I was thinking I was in Boston, and you know, sometimes you get into a taxi with somebody else going the same direction and at the airport, and there was a young man there. He was actually in cancer research, and so I said, well, have you ever heard of a friend of mine named Garth Nicholson? Oh, his face lit up. Why, Garth Nicholson was his hero. Garth Nicholson had been his teacher and instructed him. In fact, Garth Nicholson had actually sent him a paper, and he was reviewing it. And Garth Nicholson was literally idolized by all of his students. He told me Garth had come out and play volleyball with him. The only professor would do that. They loved him. And yet, of course, this is the most incredible story by a very real and very courageous physician.
Another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack today.
When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean real, hard-to-find, all-natural Pure Soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, or antibacterials. Probably never, right? Hey, folks, Michael Trudeau here, and I want to tell you about my friend Marty. He's the owner and founder of the Calben Soap Company. For the past 55 years, the Calben Soap Company's been making triple-concentrated Pure Soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calben Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. Calben Pure Soap is made from all natural ingredients. It's earth-friendly and it's safe. Call the Calben Soap Company today toll-free at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Visit them on the web at calbenpuresoap.com or call for information at 1-800-340-7091. That web address again is calbenpuresoap.com. Try Pure Soap once, and I guarantee you'll never use anything else.
You know, when I was growing up, my parents weren't worried about our education. We were taught the basics of math and English, science and history, the joy of art and music, and the need for sports. And our generation turned out leaders in every field. But as a parent today, I am concerned with my child's education. That's why I chose VHM Christian School. I know that at VHM, my children are getting a quality education with a biblical foundation. I'm not worried whether they'll be prepared. I know they are. VHM gives my children the tools to succeed and instills moral values. There are so many issues for me to be concerned about. I'm glad my children's education is not one of them. Won't you call VHM today? Your child is worth it. Call 475-4762. That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. If you'd like to get a copy of Dr. Nicholson's book, it's called Project Daylily. You can call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. You need to understand that they have unleashed some terrible things upon us. For instance, that they're fluoridating our water. They know it's a poison. They just don't want you to know that. That couldn't be going on in America, you'll say. What? If that was happening, everybody would know. Well, did you know that 7,000 5,000 employees of the EPA through their 11 or 10 unions have petitioned the EPA, their own organization, to stop all water fluoridation because it's poisoning the people. You'll find that in the October 24th issue of Time Magazine. If you read it, they don't go into great detail, but they point out all the employees of the EPA, 7,000 of them, petitioned to stop the poisoning. How could you prevent people from hearing about that across America? You control the media. And, of course, fluoride acts by dumbing down, affecting people's minds. It decreases fertility. It decreases bone fractures. It increases the incidence of cancer. It causes heart disease. And you really need to get my talk on the history of water fluoridation and, of course, the syllabus that goes with that. It's called The Hidden Agenda. You need to understand they're poisoning our people. They're poisoning us with mercury in our fillings. They're poisoning us with mercury in the vaccines. They're giving mothers who are pregnant, they're giving them, of course, influenza shots, knowing there's a high dose of mercury in the influenza vaccine. They're giving it to our elderly, knowing full well it will increase the incidence of Alzheimer's disease. And where is the outcry? All of this is documented. If you want to get our material, by calling 1-800-544-8927. The relationship of mercury to Alzheimer's disease is covered in my tapes, my interviews with Professor Boyd Haley of the University of Kentucky. We can give you the page from Dr. Fudenberg's website. He's a dean of vaccinologist. He's been studying this for years. He knows what's going on. They just don't want the American people to know. Would they unleash new infections in our disease like SARS? Where did SARS come from? Where did Lyme disease come from? Where did Ebola disease come from? Where did AIDS come from? Where did chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia come from? They're all new diseases. They've all been unleashed on the American people. And you better find out that there is an agenda out there. And they talk openly about it. And if you haven't read that article in the UNESCO Courier, November 1991, by Jacques Cousteau, talks about the necessity of eliminating 350,000 people a day. Necessity of eliminating 350,000 people a day. Why, he makes Adolf Hitler sort of into a piker. And yet, of course, we demonize Adolf Hitler, and we should, because he was an evil man. But Jacques Cousteau, he's just that kindly man who swims with the dolphins. Or maybe reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. Let me suggest that you get our latest talk. It's called Planned Population Reduction, because you could be a victim. It's 2.5 hours of me talking, if you can stand it, but you can get it on DVD or video, and there's a lot of graphics and other things, so you don't have to look at me the whole time. But the information is there, and you need to help us get it out. And then, of course, you can get our 4 tapes out on population control and our video on population control. You can get my population control agenda monograph up on the Internet. It's pull it down. It's still very apropos for today. Go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. See the pictures of the Georgia Guidestones where they talk about maintaining the world population at 500 million in constant balance with nature. Understand that there are secret occult organizations. Go up on the webpage and pull down the Earth Charter. The Earth Charter, which, of course, was written by Gorbachev and Marie Strong and Nelson Rockefeller, that talks about redistributing our wealth and between other nations. This is what's going on today. Well, the basis of everything going on. So remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, remember, we're putting on an all-day seminar on the 19th of November, and we hope that you'll get your reservations in soon, because we've only got another 4 or 5 days before we have to cut off. So give us a call, and until next week at the same time, may the Lord be with you.